Welcome to Moonlight Tales, a show where we explore the oral tradition of African folk tales. I am your host, Thelma Ekocha, and this is Moonlight Tales. Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of Moonlight Tales with me, your host, Thelma Ekocha. In today's episode, I will be sharing a story that comes from the Igbo tribe in Nigeria. This is a story about the tortoise, who is known to be a wise and cunning animal in many West African folk tales. This is a story that my parents shared with me in our native language, Igbo, and we have translated this story to English to share with you today. After sharing the story, I will be joined by our featured guest, Paige, who is from the Caribbean island nation of Jamaica and a student at American University in Washington, D.C. We will be discussing some of the cultural elements found in the story, and we will also discuss some of the similarities between Igbo and Jamaican folk tales. Without further ado, this is the story about the cunning tortoise. Once upon a time in the animal kingdom, Tortoise, who was a cunning animal, wanted to get married. He could not afford the traditional wedding items required by his soon-to-be in-laws, so he borrowed them from his neighbors. He called his kinsmen to accompany him to his in-laws for the wedding ceremony. Before Tortoise and his kinsmen set out, he told them that they should all take on special names to answer to when they arrived at the ceremony. Everyone chose their names, and Tortoise chose to be called All of You. When they arrived at the wedding, the in-laws had prepared different kinds of foods and drinks. The ceremony began first with the serving of kola nuts and palm wine. When the kola nuts were served, Tortoise stood up and asked his in-laws, "Who are the kola nuts for?" And the in-laws replied, "They are for all of you." Then Tortoise turned to his kinsmen and said, "My people, the kola nuts are for me." So Tortoise put the kola nuts away in his bag. After some time, the in-laws came back with other foods and drinks, and Tortoise would ask again, "Who are these for?" And the in-laws would reply, "For all of you." Tortoise took all the food and drinks that were served for himself and put them away in his bag. When the in-laws came back and saw that the kinsmen were not eating and drinking, they asked Tortoise why. Tortoise replied that it was because the in-laws said that the food was for all of you and that was his name. After the serving of food and drinks, they began the traditional wedding ceremony. Tortoise and his kinsmen presented the bride price and wedding gifts to the bride's family. Some of the gifts were yams, rice, and palm oil. The in-laws accepted these gifts and stored them in their house. At the end of the ceremony, Tortoise and his new bride went home. Tortoise, being a greedy and crafty animal, arranged with some thieves to steal the wedding gifts he had just presented to his in-laws. When Tortoise and the thieves arrived at night to steal the gifts, the in-laws heard the noise and raised an alarm. Neighbors came running and caught Tortoise and the thieves. The neighbors tied Tortoise and the thieves to a tree in a public square as punishment. Later, members of the community pleaded to have Tortoise and the thieves released. The in-laws released them, and Tortoise went home in shame. When Tortoise got home, he realized that his bride had gone back to her father's house. And this is the end of our story. And now we will turn it over to our discussion with our guest, Paige. Okay, so I am here with Paige, and Paige is here to discuss the story that we have just heard. So Paige, welcome to the show, and please tell our listeners a little bit about yourself.
Hey Thelma, thank you so much for having me on your show. Like Thelma mentioned, my name is Paige. I am a Jamaican. I've been living in the U.S. for quite some time now. I'm a student at American University, and I study international affairs, policy, and analysis. And among my interests are culture and folktales and music and how all of those things intersect in modern societies.
Thank you. So we are talking about a specific African folktale. And so can you let our listeners know why you are interested in folktales in general, especially African and West Indian folktales?
I think my interest in folktales comes from, first of all, my interest in culture. A lot of Jamaican folktales are some of the only things that we have left from African culture, given that people were stolen and enslaved. A lot of those folktales were passed down orally from the descendants of formerly enslaved people. And it's a way of really holding on to a culture that can be lost.
Right. Yeah. These stories are, have been passed down from our ancestors. These stories have been passed down through oral tradition over generations. And I think we can both agree that these stories are often told to children, right, as a way to pass down norms and values to teach about different aspects of our culture. So with this particular story that we have heard, what would you say is the main value being taught with this story?
I think that you're absolutely correct about it being, lessons for children and young people. And I think for this one, I'd say that in addition to, just not stealing in general, it would be just a larger story about greed, right? So we heard about, the renaming of himself to collect more goods from his in-laws' homes and then going home with his bride and then going back to steal from his in-laws' house, just really not being satisfied with what he's already stolen and just keeps stealing more. I think it's a larger commentary about, what befalls people and greed.
Right. And it's interesting because, the tortoise makes a lot of appearances in a lot of West African folktales, especially in a lot of Igbo folktales. So the Igbo people, the Igbo tribe are one of the three main tribes in modern day Nigeria. And I am an Igbo person. And so I grew up listening to a lot of stories that have the tortoise as the main character. And so he's often portrayed as this wise, yet greedy, cunning animal. So it's interesting to see how, you see those two elements of him being a wise person. So him choosing to be renamed as all of you, that's a clever way to, to get more food at the wedding ceremony, but then also to see, the idea of greed, So you have like both good and bad traits being portrayed in the same character. So what do you have to say about that?
No, yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And I think these are just largely stories that, essentially warn against using smarts and using wisdom for evil, because then it becomes, cunning and trickery. Because that, that was a really smart move, but it wasn't used for good. It was used for deception and thievery. So I think it just speaks back to the larger element of the story being used as lessons and moral lessons for children and young people.
Right. So I want us to touch on a little bit more about some of the main parts of this story, some of the main elements in this story that we also see in many African or West Indian folk tales. So food is always an important cultural element, factor in a lot of our stories. So in this story, you have some of the main foods that you find in Igbo culture. So you heard about yams, and these are African yams, not the sweet potatoes that we see here in the US. You have kola nuts. So I want to ask, are there staple foods in Jamaica that you see often make appearances in Jamaican or West Indian folk tales?
Yes, I mean, similarly enough, there's a story about Anansi, which is a Jamaican folk character, a cunning spider. He occurs in not just Jamaican folk tales, but Ghanaian folk tales as well. There's a story about Anansi and a yam hill. There are multiple stories about banana and sugar cane, and mainly crops that are found on these islands.
Right, yeah. And a lot of these foods, I think we always talk about foods too. These are, foods that may have different names but often are in the same families. Anyway, so another element that I want us to touch on is that you kind of alluded to this earlier, but is this realism element, right? So in a lot of these folk tales, we see animals and humans talking to each other and understanding each other. Or in other stories, you see humans and spirits, talking to each other. They may live in their own worlds, but there is this interaction and it's normal. So you have this mixture of the natural and the supernatural worlds coming together. And these are, this goes back to how all of our cultures celebrate the connection of the natural world to the supernatural world. We often, think about our ancestors, we pray to our ancestors, we, if, when you attend ceremonies, we may first, have a moment of silence for our ancestors. So I just wanted to, do you have anything to add to this element of realism that is often found in African folk tales?
No, yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I think these stories are told, on in the space where these two worlds collide, the spiritual world and the natural world. And I think that it speaks to the larger tradition of, mythicism in both African culture specific to Nigeria and West Indian culture specific to Jamaica as well.
Right. And in speaking more about, how these stories are set up, we do have, at least within, again, within the Igbo culture, we do have almost kind of a format. These stories follow a specific format where the storyteller will begin the story by first setting the scene. This can be done by, like the common phrase that we hear is "Inwerakukum gakorunu," which translates to "I have a story to tell you," and then the audience responds by saying "Korainkobidiaima," which translates to "Tell us that our hearts may be gladdened." So this phrase, these two phrases, kind of set up the format, set up the scene of the stories. But we also have singing is also a common element. We can have singing in the beginning or in the middle of these stories, and they're often used to further set up the scene, or you have a call and response that is similar to what the storyteller would tell the audience. So this is seen in Igbo folk tales. Do you have the same format, or do you have the same setup in Jamaican folk tales?
Yeah, in addition, we don't have a specific way to begin stories, but we do have a specific way to end stories. And we also do have music. I think music is music, singing, and I think dancing as well, in Jamaican culture is used to, give the story a more colorful kind of presentation. And the phrase used to end stories in Jamaican folk tradition is Jack Mandora Minna Choose None. And it essentially means Jack Mandora, I don't choose you, or I don't choose any. And it is said that Anansi, the cunning spider I spoke of earlier, is the god of knowledge, and Jack Mandora is the gatekeeper to this, to Anansi. So this is essentially you. It's almost like a disclaimer of sorts, like letting Jack Mandora know that you're telling the story as it's being heard, and you want no harm from the spirit world. It's almost we talked earlier about the stories happening on the intersection of the spirit world and the natural world, and it's almost a phrase of closing that gate, as to not let anything come through. So that's really the ending of the story, is closing the gate.
So that's really, I'm glad that you mentioned that because I, like I mentioned earlier, we in Nigeria within the Igbo tribe, we start our stories a certain way, but I don't know if we have a particular way of ending stories other than saying that the story has ended. But I like that you have this disclaimer phrase in Jamaica that, before you, it's almost like you're telling your listeners that I have opened you up to this story where you have the natural and the supernatural world colliding. But I also, now that I am done telling you the story, I am going to almost, like you said, close the doors to this intersector, to this intersection of worlds as a way to protect the audience. So that's neat to know. That's definitely something new that I have learned on this episode. So thank you for sharing that. And before we go, do you have anything you'd like to share with our audience? Do you have anything that you'd like our listeners to know?
Yeah, I think I would just urge people to go and look up folk tales from different traditions, because a lot of these folk tales stretch across traditions, across continents. Off the top of my head, I'm thinking about the story of Anansi and the tortoise and the hare. And the tortoise and the hare is a common children's story that stretches across continents and cultures. So I think what a lot of these folk tales have reminded me is that we're way more alike than we are different.
Right. So this is Paige, and Paige, I would like to say thank you so much for being on the show. I think our listeners will find your contributions insightful and valuable. And so I just wanted to thank you for taking the time to talk about folk tales with me. Thank you, Paige.
Thank you.
And with that, I'd like to thank you all for listening to this week's story. And thank you to our guest, Paige, for coming on the show. Please check out the description box for a link to the show's website, where you will find this episode's show notes and a transcript. Please remember to subscribe and leave a review. Thank you again for listening to Moonlight Tales with me, Thelma Ikocha. See you next time.